For more about Love Worth Finding and Adrian Rogers,
you're listening to WMIE, Coco, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to the beautiful, great book of Matthew, chapter 26, verse 51, where we left off last time. Lots of verses. Matthew chapter 26, verse 51. Before we begin, you're invited to come here every Wednesday at 6 p.m. for the live SoundCloud taping. You're also invited to come each Sunday at 5 p.m. for the live radio, internet, and SoundCloud taping. I'm in Suntree, Florida. I'm right beside Scott Merson, beside Scott Merson's The Produce Place. The Produce Place is at the corner of Wickham Road and Panita Causeway. And right there, you'll see a sign, Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. And all of you are also invited to come to a beautiful Christmas program to glorify our Lord Jesus Christ on December 19th, Sunday at 5 p.m. And now, Matthew chapter 26, excuse me, verse 51. From God's heart to my heart to your heart, will the rooster crow for you? Will the rooster crow for you? As the curtain comes up, we see that Judas Iscariot has led a little ragtag army sent there by the phony church leaders, and they have taken Jesus. They have arrested him.
And behold, one of them, which was with Jesus, reached out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear.
Wow. Another one of the Gospels says that the one who smote off his ear was Peter. Now, you know, that's good swordsmanship. I think I'd have been shaking, so I'd have probably scalped him or something there, cut off the ear. And also another Gospel says the servant's name was Malchus. And the Gospel of Mark says Jesus just picked up the ear and put it back on. I bet you Malchus was never the same. He's come to kill the Lord. The Lord heals his ear. You know, Jesus does not want anybody to hurt. He wants your ears to hear.
Verse 52. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into its place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword.
Jesus knows God's law of reciprocity. Whatever we give out comes back, good or bad or ugly. Now Peter's name means a hearing. Since Peter was going to be, and was, the first preacher of the first church, Peter had to hear the word of God so he could teach the word of God. So he needed his ear.
Verse 53. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?
Psalm 91 says, God gives his angels charge over you to keep you in all their ways. They bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Hebrews 12 says, we are all surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Cloud is a figure of speech meaning a crowd of witnesses, angels, children of God, minus the flesh. And Psalm 34:7 says, the angel of the Lord encamps round about those that fear him and delivers them. It comforts my heart to know that Jesus could see them. Do you remember the prophet Elisha? He and his armor bearer were surrounded by a human army. They were going to kill Elisha because he was a prophet. Devil's always trying to take the prophets out one way or another. Well, Elisha prayed and said, Father, let my armor bearer see the heavenly hosts around us. He opened his eyes, and there was a whole heavenly host of warrior angels all around.
Amen.
It makes me so happy to know that Jesus saw that. Even though he came to die, when you are in your valley of despond, those of you who are smart enough to read Pilgrim's Progress know what I mean, the valley of despair. It is so good to know that someone's there. If they can't help you, at least they love you.
Verse 54. But then, how then shall the scripture be fulfilled?
What scripture? Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was as a lamb led to the slaughter, as a sheep to the shearer is dumb, yet he opened not his mouth. Jesus came the first time to die. Why? Because all of sin comes short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. He came to die in your stead.
But thus it must be. Verse 55. And that same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, Are you come out as against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple.
My ministry was temple teaching. That's where I got it.
And ye laid no hold on me.
You didn't even. Why didn't you arrest me then? You know, most people who had just been arrested and they were going to kill you would say, Hey, please don't do this. Help me, help me. No, Jesus just engages with them. What a savior.
Verse 56. Then all this was done that the scripture of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him.
Oh my goodness. That scripture was fulfilled because it's found in Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep will scatter. The Lord is the shepherd. Everybody's scattered. Have you ever noticed that when the boat starts sinking, all the rats run? Nothing new under the sun, Ecclesiastes.
And fled. Verse 57. And they that laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest.
Caiaphas' name means depressed. It's depressing just to think of him. He's not a high priest appointed by God. He's a phony one. The Roman government appointed him. Wow, that's depressing.
Where the scribes and elders were assembled.
All of the Pharisees and scribes and the high muckety-muck of the church there. As you've heard me say, my friend said, Christians are all right, but those church folks will kill you.
Verse 58. And Peter followed him afar off.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Peter loved Jesus with all his heart. Jesus saw that. He saw Peter following him. Because as Pilgrim's Progress says, when you're in the valley of despond, even if you've got to walk by yourself through the valley of the shadow of death, to know that someone loves you enough to at least be there for you.
Amen. Unto the high priest's palace, I went in and sat with the servants to see the end.
Peter went in. Jesus saw him. That had to comfort Jesus' heart. Peter loved Jesus. Jesus loved Peter. Peter was there for him. No, never alone. Now, he's going to sit with the servants. He's going to watch it, see what happens.
Verse 59. Now, the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witnesses against Jesus to put him to death.
They had to pay people to lie. They couldn't find anything wrong with Jesus. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Just like somebody paid somebody, Hillary Clinton paid somebody $10 million to lie on Donald Trump. Russia, Russia, Russia. They couldn't find anything wrong. Ecclesiastes says there's nothing new under the sun. They're paying people to lie against Amen. Jesus because they can't find anything against them.
Amen. Verse 60. But found none.
Nothing wrong here. He's perfect. He never sinned.
Yea, though many false witnesses came, found they none.
Now, this wasn't just in a minute. There's Jesus. He's up all the night there, Passover and all of that, prayed, sweat drops of blood. He's standing there in chains, hour after hour after hour. Liars, liars, pants on fire. This is not fun. You know why I say on fire? It's a lake of fire. The Bible says all liars will go to the lake of fire. Of course, you could repent.
At the last came two false witnesses.
Oh, they found two slick-willy lawyers. Boy, they know how to change things around. Boy, I bet they paid them a pretty money.
Verse 61, and they said, this fellow said.
Now, here's what they're lying. This is what they're saying. But see, there are two of them. The law was, or still is, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, the matter is established. If they can pin something on it and they both agree, then the phony church leaders can kill Jesus.
I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days.
That is a total lie. They are saying that Jesus said, I, Jesus, am going to destroy Solomon's temple. It had taken 40 years for Solomon to build that. Nobody could bring it back up in 3 days. But see, they lied. They twisted it. No wonder one of the devil's metaphorical names is serpent. Twist, twist, twist. Here's what Jesus really said. Other Gospels tell us. He said, you are going to destroy me, my temple. Your temple is your body. In other words, Paul tells us in Corinthians, you are the temple of the living God. What Jesus says is, you are going to destroy my temple, my body. You're going to kill me. I'm going to let you. I came to die. But in 3 days, I'm going to rise from the dead.
Amen.
See how they twisted it?
Yeah.
Verse 52. And the high priest rose and said unto him,
Caiaphas, stands up there.
Answerest thou nothing?
Why don't you say something?
What is it these witness against thee?
Why don't you defend yourself? You can't, can you? Boy, Caiaphas thinks he's got Jesus now, but Jesus has Caiaphas.
Verse 63, but Jesus held his peace.
Open not his mouth, lamb led to the slaughter. Why? He came to die for you and for me.
And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God.
Look at that. This is a phony high priest commanding Jesus by the power of the living God. Before Caiaphas standing, the living word, the living God. I mean, the little piece of dumb clay is trying to tell the potter what to do. Now, I just know in my heart that Jesus had a chuckle inside. He made Caiaphas' liver.
Let thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God.
Christ means the anointed one. It is not Jesus' last name. It's the anointed one, Christos in the Greek, Messiah. So Caiaphas says, we've heard people say that you're the promised Messiah. Now, at least they did know that God had promised the Messiah, but of course they didn't believe it was Jesus. If only they could get Jesus to say, I am the Messiah, they would call that blasphemy, because to say you're God was blasphemy, and then they could kill him. Well, he was the Messiah.
Verse 64, Jesus said unto him, thou hast said.
Jesus said, you said it. I didn't say it. The phony priest, who's a liar, just got mixed up and told the truth. Kind of like our lying Joe Biden. He's been lying for 4 to 7 years. Sometimes he forgets and says, Obama and I created the greatest election fraud ever known to man. Once in a while, the liars tell the truth. I think it's God's Balaam donkey trick.
Amen.
Yeah, amen. Nevertheless, I say unto you.
Now, Jesus is going to say something to him he does not have to say. There's a reason.
Hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven.
Now, he's saying, yes, you're going to kill me. I'm going to let you. But I'm going to rise from the dead. Then I am bodily going to ascend back to my Father. But after a while, I'm coming back, the second coming, and I'm coming back not to be a lamb led to the slaughter. I'm coming back in the glory of Almighty God, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord, have mercy. You know what Jesus just did? They didn't have anything on him. So he said, here, Caiaphas, here's something you could use to kill me. He came to die. It looks like he's the victim, but Jesus is in charge. He gave him the grounds. He knew that Caiaphas would call that blasphemy because Jesus just really just told him he's God and that he would die. But see, for the joy set before him, he went to the cross.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Verse 65. Then the high priest rent his clothes.
Whoa. Righteous indignation. When they rent their clothes, that meant they were grieved. Oh boy, somebody's really bad. It also meant they were angry. Caiaphas was angry because in his heart of hearts, he knew this was Messiah. He didn't want to tell the truth. See, sometimes when the truth is right there for you, you get mad. You get your feelings hurt because the truth sometimes hurts your feelings. And sometimes you need to know the truth so you change something in you.
Saying, he hath spoken blasphemy.
Blasphemy, blasphemy.
What further need have we of witnesses?
We don't need anything else. He just told us. He just told us that he's the Son of God. You know he's just that old carpenter down there, the son of Mary. Are we not sure she was a virgin?
No. Now ye have heard his blasphemy. Verse 66. What think ye?
Okay, what do you think? Jury, now you know I'm the government and the government's in charge. All of you have to be like little robots. You have to say what I tell you to say. Come on, everybody, he's guilty.
They answered and said, he is guilty of death.
I bet they got a raise.
Verse 67, then did they spit in his face.
In Bible times, to spit on someone was about the worst thing you could do. I mean, do you want somebody to spit on you? Yuck. It means they don't think you're anything.
And buffeted him.
Buffeted means they said ugly words to him. Ha ha ha, he's the Christ, look at him now.
And others smote him with the palms of their hands.
They slapped him. I don't know if you've ever been slapped. I have. It is the most emotionally painful, degrading, horrible thing anyone could do to you. The slap says, you are totally worse than the lowest dung in a dunghill. It means you aren't even worth living.
Verse 68, saying, prophesy unto us, thou Christ. Who is he that smote thee?
Other gospels say they blindfolded him, so they slipped up behind him and slapped him. He's not going to give him a sideshow. He knows who did it. He's God. He made their liver. But, of course, he's not going to prophesy to them why he came to die.
Verse 69. Now Peter had sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying,
uh-oh, here's a high school mean girl, only caring about her hair and fingernails and clothes. Thinks she's better than anybody else. Mean girl.
Thou also was with Jesus of Galilee.
You were with him. Me, good girl. You bad guy.
Verse 70. And he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest.
I don't know what you're talking about. That's Peter. Don't judge him too harshly.
Verse 71. And when he was going out into the porch.
Now, he was in the palace there, close to Jesus. He goes into the outer porch, but he can still see Jesus, and Jesus can still see him. Now, in the early temple there, only the priest could go inside. The others had to go outside. So he's not inside now where Jesus is. He's on the outside.
Another maid saw him.
Oh, Lord, another mean girl.
and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth.
She tells the other people, yep, that's the bad one.
Verse 72, and again, he denied with an oath, I do not know the man.
An oath is a vow or to swear. I swear to you, I don't know him.
Verse 73, and after a while came they unto him that stood by, and said unto Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee.
Jesus had taken the vow of the Nazarite, and so had Peter. They had a certain way that they dressed, and they had a certain dialect. You could tell them by their speech. Just like a New Yorker speaks very differently from someone from South Carolina. Now, what's he going to do? Two times so far.
Verse 74. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man.
He probably said the D word. I'll soften it. Darn it! I don't know him!
And immediately the cock crew.
And the rooster crowed.
Verse 75. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, behold, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice.
Other gospels said Jesus turned around and looked at him.
And he went out and wept bitterly.
The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that these things happened to these people, Peter, in the Bible, for an example for those of us who are at the end. We are at the end. We are on the threshold of the Antichrist appearing. All the signs have been there. The Antichrist, anti is instead of, not against. He is going to pretend to be Jesus. Half the body of Christ, Matthew 25, will betray Jesus and go to the Antichrist thinking he's Jesus. We are that generation of the fig tree. But the whole world will call him God. So don't be too hard on Peter. He denied him three times, but when you betray him, you know the whole world's going to say he's God. Half the body of Christ, television, internet, all these Christian channels, they're saying now that Jesus is coming to fly you away. No, that's the devil coming to fly you away, except he's not going to fly you away. Zechariah 5 says that Airbus is not getting up. Will the rooster crow for you? Now, the rest of the story, the Gospel of John chapter 21. They did kill Jesus. He arose from the dead. He ascended back to heaven. But before he ascended to heaven, he showed himself to the disciples, a lot of people, for 40 days. Before he went to heaven, Peter was so worried because he thought Jesus would never forgive him. He said, I go a-fishing. So at the Sea of Tiberias, Peter and some of the disciples went into a boat and started fishing. Well, Jesus appeared there, the resurrected Jesus. They didn't know it was Jesus. He called out to them, children, have you any meat? Have you caught any fish? They thought it was a man. They said, no, we've been fishing all night long and no fish. Jesus said, cast your net on the right side of the boat. Pun intended, go to the right.
Amen.
And they cast in their net. The net did not break. And they brought 153 fish. In biblical numerics, 153 is glory, praise, and grace.
Amen.
So, the one whom Jesus loved, John, said, hey, Peter, that's Jesus. Peter was naked. They were men. They were all naked there. He put on his fisher's robe, and they came to shore. And there was Jesus. He was cooking fish on the coals. He's a chef too, Scott. I said, come and dine. And he fed them. They said nothing. They knew now who it was. Then Jesus went to Peter. And he said, Peter, lovest thou me? And Peter said, Lord, you know I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Jesus said the second time, Peter, lovest thou me? Peter said, Lord, you know I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Jesus said the third time, Peter, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved and cried, started crying, Lord, you know me. You know I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Three times for the three betrayals. Why did Jesus say lambs one time and sheep twice? Because Peter would be the first preacher of the first church. And anyone who's in the pulpit, our first obligation is to get souls saved. We get them to confess their sins, repent, and come to Jesus. But they are little babies, baby's lamb. But we feed them, so we try to help them grow from the milk to the meat of the word. The sheep are the called ones. Remember, Jesus said, many are called, but few are chosen. The called ones are most people who are Christians. They betrayed him in the first earth age, or were the lukewarmers in the spirit body there. You've heard that story. But we have to feed them too. They get saved, they love Jesus. But we then have to teach them about the gifts of Holy Spirit, to obey the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit control and not your flesh. And the third sheep are the chosen ones, chosen from before the foundation of the world, Ephesians 1 verse 4. The God's very elect, sent out right now, alive. The elect have to know all the mystery of God, but the elect also need somebody to hug their neck and encourage them. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So you see, the rooster crowed. Will the rooster crow for you? I pray you are blessed. Amen. At this time, it is my honor to introduce to you the owner of the produce place, who is a great husband to Angela and a great father to Max and Olivia. Welcome, Scott Merson.
Well, thank you, Miss Sherry. Thank you very much.
Scott, really? David left his stuff in the cart. Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Psalms 12:6.
Absolutely perfect. Great, Scott. Thank you. In a moment, I'm going to pray for healing, but first of all, we're at the 11th hour now. You need to get saved. Pray this prayer with me, and the Lord will save you right now. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I repent of all my sins.
I repent of all my sins.
I turn from them.
I turn from them.
I ask forgiveness for all my sins.
I ask forgiveness for all my sins.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is your Lord. He's your Savior. Yes. Now, the Bible says confession is made to salvation. All of you out there in the world, I love you. God bless you. I'm glad you got saved. Feel free to call me. You'll hear my phone number in a little bit. And leave that message on my voicemail. Say your name clearly and I will pray for you. I feel led today to pray for those who are suffering from fatigue. You just seem to be tired all the time. Father, in Jesus' name, I come before you now to pray for those who are not only weary in flesh, but weary in heart. I ask you to give them a refreshing touch, rejuvenate them, anointing of fresh oil, increase their strength, let them go from strength to strength. They run, they not weary, they walk, and they do not faint. In the mighty name of Jesus, pick up your bed, you can carry it now. With Jesus' stripes, you're healed. He sent his word and healed you. And we praise God for increased strength. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And we all say, I agree in Jesus' name. Your love line of the week, from my heart to your heart. It's a little poem I wrote just a few minutes ago. Jesus' heart was broken, but he prayed for you. He healed your soul, and he healed mine too.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Nothing is given you to keep. Go and tell. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your second best friend in the whole wide world. I know you don't know it, but Jesus is your best friend. I love you with all my heart. And I can't wait until next time when you and I get together as the family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth. Yeah.
come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come, ye, O come, ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. Choirs of angels sing in exaltation. Sing, all ye citizens of heaven above. Glory to God, glory in the highest. Oh, come, let us
the Lord. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Hear the sound? On WMIE 91.5 FM.
When the mountains look so big.
Jesus. Glory in excess. this jubilee. While your joy is strange, but no, what the gladsome tidings be, which inspire your
Brevard County's Praise and Worship Station. Your radios are tuned in to WMIE 91.5 FM.
Do you feel the world is broken? Do you feel the shadows deepen? Do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through? Do you wish that you could see it all made new? Is all creation groaning? Coming. Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst? Is it good that we remind ourselves of this?
Who conquered the grave? He is dead. Gloria, This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station, WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
What is missing today in the church is failure to recognize the Lordship of Jesus Christ.
Dr. Tony Evans says the evidence of that recognition is when we decide to go public with our commitment.
You get righteousness by your faith in Christ, but you only get delivered by your confession of Christ.
Celebrating 40 years of faithfulness, this is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of the Urban Alternative. Sometimes there's a difference between what we believe and what we admit to believing. Dr. Evans says that can be a dangerous distinction both during our life and after it. You'll want to turn to Romans chapter 10 as he begins today's lesson.
Today I want to look at the name Lord. When the fullest expression of Jesus is given, it is given in this phrase, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is his human name. Christ is his office. Lord is his title. This passage has led to a great deal of